happy if you will be free, if you want the life of your dreams. This is your place.
World Internet Summit.
It's your space.
So take something from it.
It's your dream. Your dreams can come true. This is your life. The hope is waiting for you.
London and the UK. Good afternoon, USA, and welcome all points between. This is Ted Siuba, your host for the World Internet Experts series. And basically on behalf of the organizers of the World Internet Summit, we are bringing you the greatest, the most up-to-date, the most beneficial, most influential internet marketers, bringing them straight to you. Now, I'll tell you what we're doing, folks. We are, of course, anticipating the World Internet Summit, and our speaker today is a featured speaker at the World Internet Summit UK. I'll give you some more info. I've got a couple minutes set aside for an infomercial at the bottom of the hour. You'll get that info. But right now, I tell you what, we just want you to know that you can tune in. We're doing this every single week, same time, same place, and our speakers, the guests on the show, have guaranteed that, yes, they'll reveal who they are, because we want you to know who they are. But every single one, or they can't get on the show, has guaranteed that they'll give you some actionable information that if all you ever did was listen to this call, you will have opportunities to go out and apply it and make money. Now, one other thing, a housekeeping thing before we get started. If you are dialed in on the teleconference, I do want you to know that you can go at any time to the webcast, which is free. It's at worldinternetwebcast.com. We, of course, are very happy to have you on the teleconference. It's just your choice. Also, throughout the interview today, I will be watching the email for Ask Now at World Internet Summit. And it's just like it sounds, Ask, A-S-K, Now, N-O-W, at World Internet Summit. So if you have a question for our guest, all you got to do is zip it over. And, you know, I can't always get it in immediately, but I can usually make sure it gets in. Now, folks, it's time to talk about and to talk to and introduce our guest, a fellow Brit, a man who has made some great achievements on the Internet, who has been around in internet time a number of years and has something significant to teach you and has also developed a specialty. In fact, he's going to tell you how to make a fortune with e-zines. Let's welcome Martin Avis.
Where's the applause?
All right. Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Ted. Thank you very much.
Hey, good. Hey, first thing I'd like to do is, because not everybody knows who you are. You know, we got people dialing in with that are just brand new newbies and just got them our first email. So that's good. And, of course, we do have people who do know who you are. Can you give us a quick scoop? Who are you? How did you get on the Internet? And what is it that you're known for today?
Okay. Well, the brief version, because the long version could take longer than this call. The brief version is that I'm a marketing consultant in the UK. I've been in advertising and marketing for the best part of 30 years now. And like you, I help clients make more money, which is, I guess, not a bad thing to do for a living. A few years ago, I got very involved with several of the big startup companies on the Internet in the dot-com era that turned into the dot-bomb era. The more I looked at the way these guys were squandering money, the more I thought, this just isn't the way to do it. These people just don't have a clue. They thought that the best way to make money on the Internet was to spend millions and millions of dollars, but without any business plan, without any concept of how they were going to monetize that expenditure. I felt that there was really a better way of doing it, and so that's what I set about trying to do for myself. My way of doing it is by communication with people. I'm a writer, so I'm able to write a newsletter, and I use my newsletter really to build a relationship with people, and hopefully in ways that can make me some money and do them some good.
Very good. Well, what is the subject of your newsletter? And if someone's listening to the call, how could they subscribe to your newsletter?
Well, it's evolved, really. I started off back in, must have been July 2001. I think it's an awfully long time ago now, and in internet time, I guess that's the dark ages almost. But I started off with a newsletter called Busy Zine, Business E-Zine, which was, it was a weekly, and it was intended to be better ways of doing business, a business tips magazine. It was okay, and it took a lot of writing. It was 2,000-3,000 words, and I guess in today's market that's way too long. But it worked okay at the time and ran for 70-odd issues. But it evolved over time, and I realized that what people wanted was much punchier writing. People don't want to sit down and read 3,000 words. They want to sit down and read 200-300 words. So I developed a new newsletter called Kickstart Daily, which is the one that I run now. Today was the 426th issue, so I think I'm getting used to writing it now. And Kickstart Daily is personal motivation, inspiration, personal development newsletter, and it rolls in bits of internet marketing as well, because let's face it, if you're on the internet, making money with the internet always seems like a good idea. So I like to give people the best tips I can. And the whole concept behind Kickstart Daily is that it is just that. It comes out every morning. It's short, sharp. There's four or five sections to it. None of them are more than 100, 200 words. There's a quote. There's a bit of inspiration piece. And there's an action, a daily action point. And I get great feedback from people saying that they use the daily action points and see real benefits in their lives. So the more of those emails I see, the better I feel.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Because most people cry and moan, and they say, but I'm not a writer. And you've set yourself up for the grueling task of doing something daily.
Mm. Well, I wasn't a writer when I started. I was just another businessman. I still am. I mean, I do the internet as a part-time business. My main business is the rent. But I wasn't a writer. I'd written business reports, and we all know how awful they can be. But I just thought, well, what would I want to read? How would I want to read it? And in my first busy zine, my first newsletter, my first e-zine, I have to look back now and say the writing was pretty ghastly. But I learned the trade, and that's really what it's about. If you want to do something, you learn how to do it. And over 70 issues, I learned how to craft an article, and now I turn out articles every morning. But it becomes a habit. It's as simple as that.
Well, I tell you, you must have got it if you turned out that many numbers of issues. What did you say? Over 430 on
426.
426.
As of this morning.
As of this morning. And how long does that take you to do that?
It takes me an hour or so each morning. I tend to start quite early. I write for an hour or maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours in the morning.
And that's probably very fulfilling to you also, in addition to making you money. Is that not correct?
It's very fulfilling. I do it because it's fulfilling. The making the money part is something that happens afterwards. I'm not a particularly mercenary internet marketer in that I don't do, everything I do isn't really aimed with the idea of making money. It's very easy to do that, but I think ultimately you tend to lose your credibility. We've all seen newsletters that really only exist for the purpose of plugging products. There are an awful lot of them out there. And they do all right for a little while, but in the end, they tend to fold because people get bored with them, people stop responding to them. Whereas I can go 2 or 3 weeks without recommending any products in Kickstart because my readers know that when I do recommend something, it's something that I've actually bought myself, it's something I've used myself, and I wouldn't be telling them about them if I didn't think it was great.
Okay, now, I've got a serious question I want to ask you about how you sell. But first of all, could you give us a representative issue? Maybe if you've got this morning's issue in front of you, can you give us the subjects that you talked about, maybe a breakthrough or just an idea? Not all ideas, by the way, have to be breakthrough. What did you talk about and send out this morning? Do you remember?
Yeah, let me just get it in front of me, and I can tell you quite clearly. I talk about myself a bit. I found quite early on in my writing that the more I can personalize what I write, the more people respond to it. Because, you know, the old saying, people do business with people they like. So you have to get into people's minds, into their lives, and you only do that by being likable to them, showing them that you're just the same as they are. Just because I'm the guy sitting writing the article doesn't mean I'm any different to the person sitting reading the article. So I sort of start from that premise. If I can find today's issue, I'll tell you what was in it. I tend to talk about you know, things that I've done, things in my family. My daughter wasn't very well lately, so I talked about that. A guy wrote to me with quite an amusing email. I mentioned that in today's Kickstart. Then I got into there was a poem I found online, which I quite liked, so I shared that with people, and a quote. And the main action point today was my idea that you can dare to be different. And that was really the subject matter of today's action piece, that there are so many cookie-cutter businesses out there. And, you know, we see it online all the time, that people think all you have to do is go out and buy a template and put up a website that looks like everybody else's website, and you make money. Well, yeah, maybe you do in the short term, but in the long term, the sites that really make the money and the sites that really do well and last for longer are the ones that have their own personality, the ones that dare to be a bit different from everybody else. Don't keep following the lead just because everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Now, I also, and I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it in a broad sense, and because I'm not going to reveal any confidences that we might have, but I know that you, of course, as a speaker at the World Internet Summit, you have put up a link on your website to promote the Internet Summit, and you have made some sales. And again, I'm not going to be saying how much, how many, etc. But the reason why I'm asking this question is you're making sales, and that's clear. I'm looking at the figures. And you're telling me that you can go 3 weeks without promoting a product. Now, for the minds of our listeners, you tell me how this all fits together, would you?
Well, it doesn't sound terribly logical, does it?
No, not on the surface it doesn't.
But I guess that's the difference. I mean, if I was, if my one newsletter was my sole source of income, then perhaps I'd have to be a little bit more pushy with selling in it. But I choose not to do that. It makes me a good income. It's, you know, it can make me several thousand dollars a day if I'm pushing the right product. But that's not necessarily the only reason that I'm doing it. You know, my main income comes from my offline business, and so I can treat this as a kind of a hobby if I want to. But the fact is, it's a hobby that's giving me an income that's, you know, possibly more than most people's full-time income at times. And I do that simply by, in effect, not really selling to people. I don't hard sell. I don't say, you've got to go out and buy this right now. I guess a lot of people on this call and listening on the web will have heard of Ken Evoy, the guy who wrote the great book, Make Your Site Sell. Ken talks about the concept of affiliate marketing and how the only way to seriously be an affiliate marketer is never to tell at all, but to put it out. It's not your job to be a salesman. It's your job to be the salesman's got to pay. So you're pushing traffic, in effect. So when I say to my readers, here's a great product that I've bought and I think it's really good, I'm not trying to sell it to them. I'm just informing them, and they see that. It's the tone that you write it in that does that. So then they can go along to the website and make up their own minds rather than feel that I've pushed them into it. And you know what? I get very, very few returns. I think probably the industry standard is about 5% or so of people asking for refunds. I mean, I'm a fraction of that on the stuff that people buy.
Well, that is good. And indeed, I hear some people, newbies, of course, saying a refund is a horrible thing. But it is on the spreadsheet, on the balance sheet, on the income statement of every company I've ever seen. But 5% is respectable, that's for sure.
But it's better not to have it on there at all if you can help it. And you do that by being completely honest with people, I think.
Well, and
I don't talk about products in a hypey way to make people think they're more than they are. You know, I'm selling a tape course at the moment, or recommending a tape course at the moment, that I bought the rights to. And I'm very open with people and say the quality of this tape course is absolutely awful. The content is wonderful, it's brilliant. But it's, you know, it's a recorded teleseminar series, and we all know how bad the sound quality can be on those things. And I tell people that up front because I want them to know.
Ah, very good. So that indeed is a strategy. And again, I want to point out what you just said so that everybody catches it. Instead of hyping people and then setting them up for disappointment when the product arrives, you control refunds by letting them know what, you know, as they say here in the U.S., warts and all, what it is.
Yeah, and I think by doing that, people trust what you're saying anyway. You know, because it's like if a stranger comes up to you on the street and says, hey, do you want to buy this watch? You're probably going to run a mile. But if your friend comes up to you, your best friend comes up to you and says, I've got this great deal on a watch, are you interested? You'd at least think about it.
Yeah, there's a big difference, the source. And that's what you're talking about, cultivating yourself as a reliable source.
Absolutely, yes.
And so that's been one of your secrets to making an easy fortune then?
Yes, I don't know that it's necessarily a secret. I mean, I guess to my very English way of speaking, that's almost too hypey, really. But yes, it's one of the strategies that I use. But that makes it sound rather mercenary. It sounds as if it's a deliberate attempt. Whereas, in fact, really, I'm writing a newsletter because I enjoy writing it and I enjoy the feedback I get from people. And the fact that it makes me some money along the way is great.
Well, and of course, you have said that you are doing this part-time. And, you know, of course, a lot of people, they want a part-time internet income.
Sure.
And you're saying something else, though, is that, you know, that only doing it part-time is what has given you the absolute freedom, because you're not desperate over how much money you're going to make.
No, that's very true. But I, you know, even if I was desperate, I wouldn't be comfortable in my own self to go out there and try and sell any product that came my way. You get to be in a fortunate position when you publish a newsletter that's been around for a while, that a lot of new products get sent to you to see what you think about them. People don't force you to promote them, but they you know, write to you and say, are you interested in looking at my product and would you like to promote it? I can pick and choose the ones that I want to mention. That to me is one of the pleasures. I'm not forced to go looking for products to sell. Products come to me and I choose the ones I think that are really good.
Yeah, and that is something that bears, you know, a little bit of discussion, in the fact that it is only when you're starting up that you're really looking for business, if you're doing your business right. You've just identified, these opportunities are searching you out, and if your desk is anything like mine, I mean, I can't even keep up with the stuff that's coming in. Even though it was a dream one day to have one single person in the entire world to approach me with a business opportunity, you know?
Yeah, you think it's never going to happen when you start, because when you begin, you type in your name in Google, as we all do at some point, and you get, in my case, you get a car hire company comes up. Now I type my name and I get hundreds of hits on my name, and it makes you feel good. But to begin with, it's not there. Nobody knows who you are. You have to build that. You have to establish yourself. You know, the internet, like any other business, isn't a 5-minute wonder. It's not an overnight thing. You can't just suddenly say, you know, today I'm nobody, tomorrow I'm going to be an internet superstar. Hey, I've been around for a few years now, and I'm nowhere near being an internet superstar. I look forward to that one day.
Well, actually, you are definitely an internet star, and it does have to do with the fact that you are communicating regularly, and are communicating of value. And now, of course, I know you're humble, and I know you don't feel different than you did before you got on the internet, but what it does show is really how easy it is for a person to get on and do that. Would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. I've done many seminars now where, you know, I've looked around the room and there's been nobody there with an e-zine, and I've talked to them a bit about it, and at the end of an hour or so, they've been fired up with some enthusiasm. They've gone away. They've started up a newsletter. They've written to me and said, you know, can you critique it for me? I've done that, and these guys are now online making money. And that feels great, you know, when I can look at somebody and say that person's doing well because of something I said, maybe something I inspired them to do. That's fantastic. You know, I don't make a penny out of it, but I feel really great.
There's more to it than just strictly what they call filthy lucre, huh?
Oh, of course there is, yeah.
Well, here's the question then that I'm assuming a listener would want to know. And again, we're going along your special line of expertise with an e-zine and communicating that way. What's the best way to get started? And it always comes up the question, how much money do I need to get started?
You need very little money. I mean, if you're going to do it the way I do it, which is writing a newsletter, you need almost no money at all. When I started, it was still possible to send out your newsletter via Outlook Express. Now I think you'd get hit by every spam filter in the world on that, so that's probably not quite so viable. But it still doesn't cost very much to buy an autoresponder to send it out with. I use an autoresponder called AutoResponse Plus. And for those who don't know what an autoresponder is, it's simply a piece of software that allows people to email in and therefore sign up to a series of emails that you automatically send out. But most autoresponders these days don't have to send a series. They can send one at a time. So you can use it to broadcast your newsletter whenever you feel like it. It's exactly what I do. That costs, I think it's around about $100. And I've got a feeling it's an annual payment, but I could be wrong on that. But, you know, $100 or so, it's about £50-60 in my money. It's not a great deal of money to start a business. Hmm. On top of that, you need some web hosting, which if you use someone like ThirdSphere or Host for Profit, it's going to cost you $25 a month. There are cheaper alternatives. Some of the cheap alternatives don't have quite the technical specifications required to run some of the more advanced autoresponder scripts, but you can build up to that. So that's really about it. And apart from that, you need something to write on, which is your computer. I guess everyone's got one of those. And some kind of software to write your newsletter in, and I use a piece of shareware called TextPad, which I think you can pay for about $20, but you're free to use it as long as you like until you want to pay. And to publish a newsletter, that's really all you need. It's not a huge amount of money. And in terms of what you need to do to get started, you just got to write. You've got to have something you want to say. You've got to be able to communicate with people. A newsletter at its simplest term could be just one quote. You could send out a quote of the day or a joke of the day. That could be all you do. You're not going to build up very much of a communication with people if that is all you do. But there are quote of the day easy, for want of a better word, that are around that do just that. Putting in a little bit of yourself into it, a bit of editorial, makes it more personal, makes it something that people want to read. It becomes an appointment to read rather than simply something that hits your inbox and you may look at it or you may not. That's a secret, to make yourself an appointment to read.
Oh, that does sound good. I've never heard it stated so succinctly, but it's just putting your own personality in there, making it an editorial that they can identify with rather than just a quote on self-improvement or business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very simple to make a newsletter based on other people's writings, and a few years ago that was what everybody did. You went to the article repository website, you found an article you liked, you threw it into your newsletter and you sent it out. It still works, you can still do that, but you can't do that on its own anymore. The articles are still great, and it's a great way of publicizing yourself, by the way, is to write articles to put onto those sites, because an awful lot of newsletter editors pick them up and use them. But the successful newsletters don't rely just on other people's writing now. They put their own writing into it, too.
Well, you know, you just hit on something. I'd like to go a little bit deeper on that, if you don't mind. You said that if we are writing an article, and presuming we're going to be doing our own e-zine, and we may not do it daily. That's a schedule that I couldn't keep up with. I got to hand it to you. But let's just say we do it weekly. We write that article for ourselves, and now you're saying we can put it up and get I guess it would be fair to say, get viral marketing out of that e-zine for ourselves?
Yeah, there's a good term for it. I think the last count was that there are something close to 1 million newsletters. They come and they go. When I first came online, it was quoted that there were 150,000. Now, there are an awful lot more. That doesn't mean the market's got too crowded. What it means is that the market has nicheified, or nichified maybe, if I use your term, that newsletters are about more and more much smaller areas of interest. And so there's room for many more than there are at the moment. The good ones will always bubble to the surface, like cream on top of the milk. But the best way of getting publicity for yourself is to get other people to use your work, because everybody wants links back to themselves. Whenever you write an article, if somebody else publishes that article, they are duty-bound to include what's called your resource box at the end of it, which is usually 5 or 6 lines of text which say who you are, why you're writing articles, and a link back to your website that you've chosen to give them. And that's effectively the price of publishing your article, but they also publish your resource box. That gives you two things. It gives you credibility in the eyes of the readers, because you're suddenly the expert that's writing the articles. But it also gives you links back to the website that you've chosen to link back to, which is great for search engines, because the search engines send you traffic primarily based on the number of links that you get from other people.
And there's another important point. They say, and again, that this is one of those figures like you've alluded to, it's kind of written in the sand, it's different depending on who you hear it from, but approximately I'm hearing that about 85% of all internet requests for information, of all, you know, surfing sessions, begin with a search on a search engine.
Really? I haven't heard that statistic, but I'm not surprised.
Well, I tell you, what that really tells me is that if you're looking to boost your positioning in a search engine, doing the strategy that you just described, posting your articles so others can put it on their sites so they can link back to you, it has to have a long-term beneficial effect for your own revenues.
Oh, yeah, it does. Well, it helps you drive subscribers, because by pulling people back into your website, every time somebody hits your website, you've got an opportunity to ask them to sign up to your newsletter. And if they've liked your writing enough to want to click on your link, then to them it's pretty much a no-brainer that they're going to want to read more of it, so they will sign up. So it's a great way of getting new subscribers. And a new subscriber who actively wants to read your writing is far more likely to buy from you than a subscriber who's, you know, just signed up through some sort of co-registration service and they don't really know who you are.
Yeah. In fact, that's one instance, as not everybody believed it in the earlier days. And again, we're talking about 2 years ago.
The good old days.
Yeah. And so they were buying these co-registration names like crazy, and then it got to be a bragging contest. Yeah, my list is 1 million. Really, mine is 1.4 million. But the truth of the matter is, I have seen people who had 2,500 people outpull people who had 2.5 million subscribers on their list.
Well, yeah. You know what, Ted? My Kickstart daily list has 4,500 subscribers. That's all. And yet, I could live on the income from it.
And that's an important point. I'm glad you shared with us exactly what that is, because that old braggadocio is still out there, and people are thinking, golly, how will I get 100,000 subscribers? And you could live off the 4,500 you have, because they voluntarily opted in.
Yeah. So there's a guy in India, a chap called Dr. Manny, who's quite well known in internet circles, who wrote an interesting book. He did an experiment a while back. He had quite a lot of subscribers, and he thought to himself, as a lot of us do, I just wonder how many of them ever bother to read. And so he, through various methods, asked people to resubscribe, and I think he even started charging for his newsletter. And suddenly he went from something like 6,000 subscribers to a couple of hundred. But those couple of hundred bought more things from him than the 6,000 had ever done. And he said, well, how could that be? Because they were there to start with. And it turned out that by virtue of the fact that they were now paying to receive his newsletter, they felt that they were going to get better value by buying the things that he was he was recommending. So I ended up buying even more.
That's another good strategy. What I'd like to do right now is give folks a little bit of info on the World Internet Summit UK coming up, and then we'll be right back because I got to ask you a serious question right along these lines. So, folks, I'll tell you what. As you know, this World Internet Experts Call is sponsored by the World Internet Summit. Of course, our featured speaker today, Martin Avis, is one of the speakers at the World Internet Summit UK, the greatest internet marketing show on earth. Here's what I would like for you to do. Go check out the website. I'm trying to learn from Martin, right? I'm underselling. No hype today. go check out the website. Hey, and if it's for you, it's happening in October, October 28th through the 31st in London at the Wembley Conference Center. Also, by the way, I do know that we've got people worldwide. We got the World Internet Summit USA coming up September 16th through the 19th. Now, one of the things that we are doing there, which you will find earth-shattering if you've never seen it before, is we are going to select a person from the crowd. We're going to bring them up on stage. We're going to hook up the laptop computer, and within 72 hours, we're going to brainstorm a product, create that product. We're going to write copy. We're going to make a website. We're going to automate it with autopilotriches.com for e-commerce and your autoresponders, which we've been talking about. And we're going to do the marketing, and we're going to count the money. And that's all within 72 hours. Now, folks, believe me, I am not out there teaching that anybody who wants to can buy an e-book and make $10,000, 6,000 pounds in 72 hours. Some can, yes. Most can't. It takes a little bit of that. What we are doing, though, we are really a group of experts who are in tune with what's happening. We're doing a demo for you to show you every single step. Nothing hidden. We'll be on stage. We'll have cameras. Nothing hidden that you can follow to go out and do it for yourself. And, of course, we've brought the greatest speakers in from around the world. Of course, Martin Avis being one of the featured speakers from the World Internet Summit UK, being from the UK. We also have Phil Gosling coming from the UK. We also have Michael Green and Alan Forrest Smith, who is actually a co-venture partner, a copywriter in the event. Also, you may have heard of people like Armand Morin, Kurt Christensen, Johan Mock, who we're bringing in from Singapore, Rob Bell from Canada, David Cavanaugh from Australia, Frank Guerin, which I understand a lot of the British people like, because he's just down home, man. He's just a good guy. People like it. Mike Stewart, if you're interested in putting up internet audio. Sean Roach, if you want to know how to make the contacts that can make you money. Got the Rebel Aussie businesswoman, Tom Hua from China. Brett McFall, the ad wonder from Down Under. I tell you what, folks, we got a lot of speakers, and of course I don't have time right now in a brief 60-second spot to go into them. But that's all on the website. So refer to the link of the person who sent you this email, who got you to the call. If you absolutely have lost that, you can always go to worldinternetsummit.com/UK. But remember, there are affiliate commissions involved. So if you go directly there, there is a text box that lets you tell us who referred you. I could go on and on and on. I'm just going to say, hey, get to the webpage, see that. I do want you to know we've got a newbies day starting at 12 p.m. that is absolutely free. It will teach you how to use front page, how to make these websites, how to do the things that Martin's talking about. Summing it up, the bottom line is at the World Internet Summit, you'll discover what to do to make money online. There will be a dozen experts of the same caliber as Martin. How to do it, why to do it, when to do it, and, of course, the thing we all like is how to do it with minimal effort, risk, and out-of-pocket expense. Okay, Martin, got the commercial out of the way. Was that low hype enough, or did I overdo it?
Oh, that'll do. That'll do.
You got to understand, I'm trying to learn.
I've got to get you face-to-face before I can teach you how to be English under hype.
Oh, well, good. You know, one of the favorite English expressions that I love, and because it's always so understated, is... that's a bit overstated. A bit. Anyway, hey, let's get right down to the money and how we make it. Again, going off of what we were talking about, you were talking about writing articles and posting them so others could take them and use them. Now, that's such a killer strategy. where would we go to post our articles?
Well, I have, if I can refer you to a URL on my website, it's...
We'd love it.
It's www.kickstartyourlife.com. That's all one word, kickstartyourlife.com/ezine resources. Just hit enter after that. And it'll take you to a page of resources that I've put up. On that page is a link to a list of all of the repository places that I use myself, and there are about 40, I think, on there at the moment. So that would be quite a useful place to start.
Man, I would say, so anybody who's listening who maybe doesn't have any more than, as you were saying, $125, could actually get started by writing a few articles, post them up, and that would launch them.
Yeah, I think you need somewhere to drive the traffic to, though. I mean, just writing the articles and then not having anywhere for people to come to is not going to do you any good at all. Because one thing that people won't like is if you write an article that's full of affiliate links, because someone else is going to publish that, and frankly, they would much rather have their own affiliate links in it than yours. So, you know, you write articles that are genuinely useful, but are not trying to flog anything, use an English term. Use your resource box at the bottom to drive people back to a web page. And it doesn't have to be anything very complicated. My own Kickstart Daily sign-up page has got to be the simplest page I've ever put up. It's a very, very easy little page, kickstartdaily.com, if you want to look at it. It's just a sign-up page. There's nothing else there, just sign up, basically. But, you know, that allows people to give you their email address, and you can offer them something in return if you like. I'm not a great fan of freebies, but if you want to incentivize them to give you their email address by maybe offering another article or a special report or something, you can do that. But the whole key to it is capturing that email address. Without their email address, you've really got no reference to them at all. So that's really what you have to try and aim to do. That's what your articles are about. Drive people to a website, get their email address, and then you've got the basis of a newsletter. Because without email addresses to send it to, you don't have a newsletter, really. You're writing to yourself.
Okay. Now, let me ask you. People go to kickstartdaily.com. As you said, they're going to see a very simple page. It's really basically just a computer screen. I mean, like, it's not, if you printed it out, it would be one or two pages. And the only purpose of that is to get people to subscribe.
Yes. It has no other purpose whatsoever. Once they've signed up, the form that they fill in on that page sends an email directly to my autoresponder, and the autoresponder immediately bounces them back a message to say thank you very much for subscribing, and of course asks them to confirm that they have intended to subscribe, because these days you have to double opt in people. It's too easy to get accused of spam these days. So, you know, the autoresponder said, if somebody else has got it, then ignore this email and you won't hear from us again. But if you really mean to subscribe, just click on this link and it's all done automatically. And then following that, they then get their first issue, which is just a welcome issue. And then they go up to the list and get the following day's issue as normal.
And so you do most of your selling by referrals and references that you make from your e-zine articles, and obviously they have to be in context.
Sorry, can you clarify what you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you may be on a cell phone. Every now and then you're cutting up, so...
I am. No, I'm not on a cell phone, actually. I'm on a normal landline.
Okay. Well, it's very minor, so we'll live with it.
Okay, must be the transatlantic cable.
Yeah, I know. Those Americans, they put that down. No, what I'm trying to get to for the benefit of our listeners is that you get people onto your e-zine. I mean, again, I encourage everybody to get up to kickstartdaily.com. There is nothing a person could buy. And so then you obviously must do your selling through referrals that you make in your web page, if that's your main medium of communication.
Yeah, well, it's back to building a relationship. I don't want their first contact with me to be me trying to sell them something, because that's not what Kickstart's about, and it's not what I want them to perceive. So their first emails from me will be, you know, hello, how are you, thank you for subscribing. There's no selling whatsoever involved in there. Until they get their first regular issue of Kickstart, if there happens to be a recommendation in that, they will see it. But you know, because I don't put recommendations for things in every day, chances are that it'll be a day or two before they actually get a recommendation from me for anything.
Well, and do you archive your back issues in case people want to...
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to these days because of the problems of getting through the spam filters. The number of bounce backs that I get, and that's that, for those who don't publish newsletters, that's when you send out, in my case, 4,500 newsletters and only 3,000 get delivered because various ISPs decide that whatever it is you're sending is spam for whatever reason. They elect to decide that, usually no reason whatsoever. And quite often they'll send you a message to say, we haven't delivered this email, and they might give you a reason or they might not. But you get a rough feeling, therefore, for how many of your list are not being sent out. And it's getting more and more. It's getting harder and harder to get newsletters through. So you have to find other strategies to reach people. And so one of the strategies I have is that every time I send out the daily newsletter, it's simultaneously published on a website of its own. And hopefully by the time people realize they haven't received a Kickstart, they can look back at the last issue they did get. There'll be a link in every issue of Kickstart that tells them where to find today's issue online. So, you know, my website online gets quite a lot of hits from people who, you know, maybe with AOL or Hotmail, who for some reason decide not to deliver anything that day. And those people know that if they don't get their email through on time, and but even my readers write to me if they don't get it on time, they know that they can go to the website and find it and read it there. And it's, you know, it's more convenient for them. I use other methods as well. I have a little piece of software, which I think the original software is called Don't Miss a Thing. I've rebranded it as the Kickstart Alerter, which is just a tiny little program that sits down in the area by your clock on your computer screen, and it monitors websites. And whenever it notices one of those websites, in the background, you don't see it doing it, but whenever it notices that something's changed on one of those websites, it flashes and tells you that you can go to that website and get the latest update. And so 300 or 400 of my readers have downloaded that software now. And so whenever Kickstart is posted online, their little alerter flashes and tells them that they can go and read it there. They don't have to wait for the email, which may or may not arrive. So this is the development, really, of newsletter marketing. We're having to find better ways of reaching people.
You know, nobody would have suspected it would come to this, because you're dealing with people who opted in. You're dealing with legitimate stuff. I mean, this is not, you know, the Viagra that for some reason or another seems to get through more often than we want.
Well, yeah, and I think there's so much politics now involved that the ISPs are blocking stuff, not necessarily because it's spam, but because they block what they think is easy to block. They use these blacklist companies like SpamCop, SpamHouse, who really blacklist people for very spurious reasons. I mean, I think my Kickstart's on their list simply because I have an IP address that I send from that's similar to another IP address that is used by a spammer. You know, that's like saying, you know, nobody called Smith can open a bank account because once someone called Smith robbed a bank. You know, it's just crazy stuff. But the ISPs need to be seen to be publicly doing something so they can say to their subscribers, we're doing all we can to fight spam on your behalf. Truth is, it's just PR.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. You just, and I don't want it to fly by, you just really talked about a great strategy with the Kickstart Alerter. And anybody who is seriously considering an easing today just flat out has to consider the way the world is today, not the way they want it to be, not the way it was in 2002 or 1999. This Kickstart Alerter, where would someone go to be able to get a program like that, or to get that specific program and offer it to their subscribers?
Well, if you download the Kickstart Alerter, my own one, there's a link on it at the bottom to, it says powered by Don't Miss a Thing. Click on that link and you go to the page. You can buy your own version to rebrand. You can download my one from www.kickstartyourlife.com/alerta.htm.
Well, that's interesting. And now I want people to see what's happening. I asked you where we could find something because you described a tool that worked. Now, this is your whole strategy. And then you had what I would assume amounts to a sales opportunity. Is that correct?
I guess so, yes.
So that's your strategy, as I understand it. You know, you're providing value. And, boy, any time you can turn this equation around where instead of being, it's a derogatory term, being a peddler, you know, and we call it the people standing on the corner slamming a drum, you know, it's like, here, come buy my stuff, it's the greatest snake oil in the world. But you're saying, hey, here's some information you need, and you drop it right there, and then you got people coming to you. Where can I get this? How do I get this? Brilliant strategy.
Well, but it's not brain surgery, though. It seems obvious to me that, you know, if I'm going to recommend products, I should recommend ones I like, because I don't want people coming back to me and saying, hey, I bought that product and it was rubbish. I don't want that. Life's too short to have dissatisfied readers and dissatisfied customers. Why not stick with the happy ones?
That's good. Speaking of dissatisfied customers, and it's just one of the issues I would think that would come up if you're not doing business right. But even doing business right, there have to be some drawbacks, some problems, some challenges that people might experience. If someone was to be sitting down and listen to this call, they say, man, Martin Avis, you've pegged it. I want to put up a website. I want to offer products I believe in. I'm going to put a sign-up page. I'm going to, you know, get my hosting, get my autoresponder working, and I'm going to start an easing. I'm going to deliver value. What kind of challenges or problems could they expect to run into? Not that it would be stoppable, but what could they expect? Because they always want to know.
Well, the first challenge really is just that if you're going to produce a newsletter, you're going to have to learn to write, and sometimes that can be a challenge. I mean, I find I write every day, but there are days when I sit staring at my computer and I haven't got the faintest idea what I'm going to write. Eventually, ideas come. You know, I'm a great believer in the concept that ideas are floating around in the air. It's just whether we've got the door open in our mind that allows them to float in or not. You just have to get your head into the idea of the ideas coming to you. And they do. Eventually, they do. I don't believe in writer's block. I just think there are just temporary humps in the road. The second thing you've got to get used to is there are going to be people who don't like what you write. And when you first start, it can be very hurtful because some of these people tell you in no uncertain terms. You get some very nasty emails from people saying, get me off your list. And, well, I won't say what they did say, but they say some horrible things. And live with it, because there are some very disturbed people out there, and, you know, rather than just click on the button that says unsubscribe, they would much rather cause all sorts of trouble. I think they do it just for the fun of it, and they hope that they're going to upset you, so don't let them. You know, eventually, you'll come to realize that unsubscribers don't matter. You're not writing for the people that don't want to read you. You're writing for the people that do want to read you.
That makes good sense. And everybody, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that would be a definite common problem. Everybody has to get used to that and accept it, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And it, you know, it's part of doing business on the internet that you get, you know, even if you run a forum. I have a forum on my website now because that was, again, another strategy I decided on to keep me in touch with readers who maybe couldn't get the emails through. So I started a forum up, and that's grown quite nicely and developed into quite a good, we call it the Kickstart family. People ask each other questions and help each other out. But every once in a while, you get idiots come on there who just want to put all sorts of profanity on the forum. And you know, you just delete them and move on. Just don't react to them.
I tell you what I've done is, and again, it's that same thing, is I can hardly open up one that has all that stuff without getting some kind of twinge. I've just put someone else in my office to open up the emails and, you know, sort and sift. I mean, it's a secretarial function, but every now and then one of those comes in, and I don't even have to know about it, you know.
No. Well, one thing I do is that every time somebody writes to unsubscribe, normally with the newsletter, there's an unsubscribe link in the email that they can just click on the button. They go back to the autoresponder, and it takes the name off the list automatically. But I set the autoresponder up so that everyone who does that, and there are a few a day that do that, everyone gets an email that says, you know, I'm glad that you tried us out. You know, I'm sorry that you decided to move on, but would you mind taking a couple of minutes to tell me why you've decided to unsubscribe, so that, you know, not for any reason of wanting to keep you against your will, but just maybe so I can make Kickstart better for the people who are still subscribing. And I guess about 1 in 8, 1 in 10 bother to write back to me, and sometimes I can learn from it. You know, people say, well, you know, I thought maybe you were talking too much about internet marketing, and that's not what I'm interested in, or maybe I thought you were talking too much about motivation, and I'm really only interested in internet marketing. So you can learn even from the people that don't want to read you.
Yeah, that's interesting. In fact, that reminds me of a person who's living in the UK right now, Ted Nicholas, multimillionaire, and he said he had started 17 businesses, and most of them were successful, but he had some failures in there too. And quite literally, he said, hey, I learned more from the failures than I learned from the successes.
That's absolutely right. And we all have failures. You know, everyone who unsubscribes is a failure to me. And this is my failure that I didn't keep them. But if I can learn a little bit about why they went away, then maybe I can do something about keeping all the other ones happier.
Well, true. But for instance, let's say that you have chosen to have an e-zine that focuses dominantly on motivation and self-improvement and a little bit about internet marketing, and someone for some reason got on your list, maybe, you know, maybe because it's called the Kickstart Daily, because they're a Harley rider, you know. When they subscribe, that unsubscribe, that is no failure. I mean, they were not in the right place to start with anyway.
No, but that does teach me something. It teaches me that maybe I should have written my sales letter for the newsletter a little bit clearer.
Touche. You got me on that. Okay, hey, well, listen, we're winding down to the very end, and I'm going to kind of give a summary of what you've done. But first of all, I want to do two things. Number one, how can people contact you?
Well, they can contact me, ideally, by subscribing to the newsletter at www.kickstartdaily.com, and there's contact addresses in every issue. But if anybody wants to email me direct, they can email martin@kickstartdaily.com, and that'll get straight through to me.
Fair enough.
Any, probably the easiest way.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts there, Martin?
My closing thought really is, don't sit around thinking I might be able to do this one time in the future, because that one time in the future never seems to happen. Internet is very fast. It's very now. It's very immediate. Things change. But the only way to get on top of it is to get on top of it right now. So I say this to my readers. I say this to anybody I talk about. I'm an evangelist for action, really. Get out there, get started, and get making money, because we can all sit around and talk about it, but that doesn't pay any bills.
Truer words were never spoken. And as you said, you don't have to start perfectly, which I think is one of the things that holds people up, because you were saying you learned your craft while you were in motion, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And my first newsletter didn't make money for months. I was sending it. Well, you know, let's face it, when you start a newsletter, you don't have any subscribers for a while. It builds up slowly. And you don't make any money, but you're learning your trade. You're learning to craft articles. You're learning to craft a newsletter. And you're learning the internet. Because, as we said earlier, with the delivery problems at the moment, things are changing all the time. So think of it as an apprenticeship. And if at the end of 3 months you're starting to turn a profit, then you're doing really well. And over the following 3 months, it'll be exponential, because once you start to learn how it works, you just won't know how to stop.
Love it. Martin Avis, thank you for taking time out of your busy evening today.
You're very welcome.
And folks, I'll tell you what, Martin has really shared a lot with us. Fortunately for you, if you couldn't get everything noted down, these are archived at the same place you're listening to it, at worldinternetwebcast.com. That's worldinternetwebcast.com. But indeed, Martin shared the secrets to an easy and fortune, talking about how he can make several thousand dollars a day if he recommends a good product, talking about how he does not overwhelm them with sales opportunities or, you know, beating them over the head too much high. He gave us a real outline for what he does and does daily, which you convert it however you want, but, you know, you put together a few sections and you fill in the blank. He talked about the liberty that publishing gives you, the prestige it can give you real quickly, the reach, and how you can make a real good income with a small amount of people. He told you how to get started, all the way from, you know, $100 or 60 pounds to getting your autoresponders up and to getting your hosting going for a few bucks, using a free program to write text pad to write your emails. And, you know, that's pretty affordable. He talked about how to just get started with just doing it. In fact, those were his final kind of words there. He's an evangelist for action, I think was the exact words he said. So, folks, you've learned a lot. You can listen to this again. This interview, along with all of the interviews in the World Internet Experts series, are brought to you by the World Internet Summit. And I would encourage you, if you want to hear more and get more and get up close to Martin Avis, that you attend the World Internet Summit UK this October 28th through the 31st. You can check it out by referring to the link of the person who referred you to the call. And again, if you don't have that link, if you misplaced the email, you can go straight to worldinternetsummit.com. But do, please, if you register, and this is not high height, but if you do, let us know who sent you, because we do want to make sure, as you would respect for yourself, that everybody who deserves an affiliate commission gets one. So I tell you what, folks, on behalf of myself, Ted Siuba, Brett McFall, Tom Hua, and Alan Forrest Smith, the promoters of the World Internet Summit, and our special guest today, Martin Avis, we'd like to say, folks, it's easier than you ever imagined, and you just got to get started, and why not today?
Something of it, it's your dream, the answer's in you, this is your life.